We'll pause for a moment of silent prayer. Rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? No coffee. Now, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here. The purpose for our gathering is to continue our pursuit of truth. And it's our prayer that as we move through our study this evening, that what we do here will contribute to that objective. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are at Revelation 3:16 as we work on our seventh church. We are at Laodicea, or Laodicea is correctly pronunciated. Revelation 3:16 is where we are in that particular paragraph. Therefore, because you, the believers at Laodicea, are lukewarm, meaning they're reversionists, in fact, neither hot and not a positive believer advancing, nor cold an unbeliever, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. Now, the imagery that we get from this passage, I hope you recall from last time, we have a map here of the seven churches of Western Anatolia, and you can see the what I would call the aqua dots indicate the seven churches that are in this circuit. It's quite possible, much like Ephesians, that this was an encyclical, that the book of Revelation was passed around to these seven churches and possibly beyond these. But the book of the book of Ephesians is actually an encyclical. And probably with that in mind, where it started was probably at Laodicea or maybe Pergamum. And then it gets passed from one church to the next. And the name of the church that it's to go to next is inserted in verse 1 of the book. And therefore, it made its way around to the seventh church in the circuit, and that would have been Ephesus. That's called an encyclical. And there's, in my mind, the possibility that that's the case here because seven individual churches are mentioned in chapters 2 and 3. And the seventh on the circuit is Laodicea, which you see middle bottom there. That's where we are in our study. Now, a number of things we took up is that it's in the area of Phrygia. This is like a state for the Roman Empire. It's a province kind of concept. And these three cities that we're highlighting here, Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea, are located in the southwestern corner of Phrygia. So that's their location. Hierapolis is about 5 to 6 miles north of Laodicea, and Colossae about 9 or 10 miles to the south, southeast of Laodicea. So that gives you the lay of the land as to where all of this is taking place. And we've noted some of the concepts regarding the economy of these cities. The water, for example, at Hierapolis is piping hot, around 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And this is because of seismic activity underneath. There are earthquakes that go on there. There was one in the late first century that we're going to note in an addendum to our study because I want to draw out some parallels of Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae, especially with the emphasis on Laodicea, and bring that over to our recent study of how you have a comparison of the first generation, the Exodus generation, being made up of believers. But since all of them failed with the exception of two men, they were taken out of history. Therefore, as far as client nation status is concerned, the first generation couldn't hold the fort. It was the second generation under Joshua that maintained their national identity. And, of course, he's the one that went into what was called Canaan then and established the ownership of that piece of property for the people of Israel, the Israelites. And therefore, Israel came into being as a result of Joshua's victories. Then you move to the last generation. This is the one in the first century. and how those at Jerusalem, we identified from a passage in Hebrews, were all believers, but they all were negative to the revelation of New Testament theology and therefore rejected the study of the Word, although they had believed in Jesus as the Messiah. All of them were taken out. Better than a million were slaughtered in the siege that was put upon that city of Jerusalem by Titus. He had inherited the responsibility from his father, and in about a six-month siege, he was able to take out the city, destroy it, its walls, the temple, and all who were left alive were put into some form of slavery. So you can see there that you have a group of people at the very end of the dispensation of Israel who were positive but could not sustain the client nation identity, and therefore they were taken out, and horribly so. The people that were not in Jerusalem at that time, but Jews that had been moved out by various other diasporas that we've recently studied, they populated the other nations around the world as they do today. And it's because of the diasporas that the Jews have been protected over the last two millennia. Well, that gives you an idea of what goes on in Hierapolis. They had piping hot water there, so it's hot. And the people at Laodicea, because of the lay of the land, did not have a good water supply. So they built a pipeline that actually worked as a siphon to get hot water from Hierapolis and to move it across the valley into their locale. And when it got there, it was lukewarm. And if you move down to Colossae, they're out, apparently, of the seismic region, and their water is pretty cold. And so the people at Colossae, you'll know from studying the book of Colossians, are all involved, quite a number of them, in the Judaizers problem. And Gnosticism is another problem that they face, and many of them are getting into. So the Judaizers, with their legalism, trying to syncretize Christianity with Judaism, as well as the Gnostic heresy, this is a problem at Colossae. So you have a lot of people down there who are unbelievers. They've gotten all mixed up with these religions rather than just believing in Christ. So you have hot, you have cold. And the water there is being used by Jesus Christ as a teaching aid. If you were hot, like the water is over at Hierapolis, then you would be an advancing positive volition believer. But if you are cold, like the water down at Colossae, you're an unbeliever. And I know what to do with each of those. I know for the unbeliever that what they need is the gospel. I know what to do with a hot believer. What they need is just more teaching of Bible doctrine. But there's not much you can do with someone who's lukewarm. In fact, the whole issue in Laodicea is that you could go there for these colonics. And I question that term, but you can't question Scripture. So I asked Weldon about that. A colonic is where you drink the warm water and you flush from the south side. Whereas the Scripture says that when you drink this warm, lukewarm water, you regurgitate from the north side. Regardless of all of that, that's how the Scripture reads. And Jesus said that these people at Laodicea made him sick on the stomach and that he vomited them out of his mouth. What does that mean? He's talking about reversionists, just like the first generation and the last generation of Israel. Now you've got these people who have been evangelized and they are believers in Laodicea, yet they have no interest in the Word of God, and there are reasons for that. Cheers. I've got a varmint in my throat. I may have to do that several times tonight. So my point here is to remind you of these things we developed last time here. Now let's note some points here on the reversionistic concept that is at Laodicea and the fact that they made the Lord sick on his stomach. I might point out the word for stomach. That's spelled P-H-E-R-O, Pharaoh. And the word stomach here indicates that something can be put into the stomach to cause it to reject whatever has been swallowed. And therefore, sometimes you have to regurgitate. The Lord is saying, illustratively speaking, the people at Laodicea make him sick on the stomach to the point of vomiting. It says it right there in the verse. And so with that in mind, you might look at it this way. Have you ever run into anybody? Have you ever run into a group of people that simply caused you to recoil? Their behavior, their modus operandi, their thought processes, their culture, their belief system was so in opposition to yours that you were thrown off by their presence and had no desire to be around them or to associate with them. You run into people and you run into groups like that on occasion. And when you do, there is the mandate in Scripture to love the enemy. So we've discussed many times in the past how you do that. You allow justice to be taken care of by the Supreme Court of Heaven. He will take care of these people in due time. And we do not go along with the current concept of tolerance. Tolerance means to look on another person as simply someone else with a different belief system, and that's okay. It is not okay. And therefore, what you are required to do as a believer is to discern these things. Discern that these people are dangerous to your thought process, dangerous to those you love, but that the Lord will take care of that. And in the process, you are going to stomach them. And so the Lord is trying to stomach Laodicea. And in his teaching aid, he's saying, I'm not going to be able to keep you down. And this could go on all night, by the way, so just get used to this. I honestly believe drinking the water doesn't do any good. It makes me feel better. It makes me think maybe a miracle will occur. Maybe it's holy water or something. So the Lord is sick on his stomach, you'll see. Having graciously allowed them enough time for recovery, God's justice ultimately comes down upon these types with desperate measures. The administration of divine discipline, therefore, comes in three categories, and you know them. First of all is warning discipline, then intensified, and finally terminal. And the last one is the sin unto death. So you don't want to run into that. So in other words, we are to stomach the reversionist until God chooses not to do so any longer. He will eventually either correct them by the disciplinary procedures, or they will reject the warnings and the intensified stage, and they will suffer the sin unto death. One of the ways that you can get rid of people is to pray for them to be promoted. I had a good friend years ago who had this horrible boss. In fact, there's a movie called, I think, Horrible Bosses. She had a horrible boss. Now, the guys in the movie wanted to kill their boss, and that's certainly not acceptable behavior. So she prayed that he would be promoted. And lo and behold, he was promoted to a higher position in the organization, and he had to move to another city. And the guy that came in as the new boss was a good... I've not been drinking, except for the water. Was a nice guy, and was one with whom she could work very cordially. So there are ways to handle these obnoxious people rather than killing them. That's the point. And there's ways to do it rather than get involved in verbal tiffs, name-calling, that kind of thing. And certainly, the Lord has better grasp of what needs to be done regarding discipline than we do. He knows how to tighten the screws, by the way. Some people don't need a whole lot. A little warning discipline will do. I took one of those pills before I left, I swear I did. There's that Advil thing that dries you up. Please excuse me, I apologize for this. I guess I should have stayed home. Nevertheless, some people need the screws tightened. They have to suffer and scream and carry on, and finally it gets through to them. But the Lord knows to what degree and to what intensity to lay on an individual. And he will continue to come at that person until they come around to his way of thinking, or they're taken off the battlefield in the sin of death. So in other words, we are to stomach the reversionist until God chooses not to do so any longer. Now, once the reversionist is taken out of the conflict, then positive believers are afforded a little R&R, like that lady I just mentioned. Then it's back to the warfare. Some new challenge will occur. Now, verse 16 is the point where the Lord can no longer stomach the reversionist at Laodicea and thus executes the sin unto death. Now, the lukewarm waters of Laodicea, mixed with a heavy content of carbonates, sodium, and chlorides of calcium from Hierapolis, induces vomiting in the patients admitted to the colonic clinics of the city's medical center. Now, people would go there from miles around because they had digestive problems, apparently. And then the lukewarm ward of Laodicea became a big business there. They had a medical center that attended all of this. And so apparently it was worth the money to build that pipeline 6 miles up the road from Hierapolis. And because Hierapolis, its waters were 100 degrees, nobody wants to get in that. And then down in Colossae, it was cold. Nobody wants to get in that. You want warm water. And so they had the lukewarm water at Laodicea, and they capitalized on that. Free enterprise, you'll note, does enter into this. And because of that, we found out in the context of this passage that they're rich. Now, see, they're not going to pass prosperity testing here. Now, in the same manner also, the lukewarm spiritual status of believers in the church at Laodicea makes the Lord just as nauseous and causes him to vomit the culprits out from his mouth. That is a warning of dying or terminal discipline. So we have here then the double entendre by the Lord, and he expresses his intent to administer the sin unto death to these reversionists and to do it soon. So this is a shot over their bow. He's sending this letter down there. John's supposed to take care of this. And when they get this letter, when they get this book of Revelation and get around to the comments made to the pastor at Laodicea, these people are going to hear the Lord say that they make him sick on the stomach. Now, if you got that message, would you try at that point to start shaping up? Well, let's hope so. The targets of our Lord's terminal discipline are people who have certain kinds of prosperity and success, but from it have found no true lasting happiness. So what we learn is that they're not copacetic in Laodicea. Here's the passage in it, expanded translation beginning at verse 16. Therefore, because you are lukewarm, reversionist, in fact, neither hot, positive, or cold, an unbeliever, I am about to vomit you out from my mouth. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich. In fact, I have become very wealthy. That's prosperity test, you see. And I have need of nothing. Failure to pass the prosperity test. And in fact, you do not know that you are distressed. You have no capacity for the prosperity you enjoy. You are miserable, no capacity in the happiness area. Poor, no grace orientation to life. Blind, blackout of the soul and the stream of consciousness. And naked, no uniform of honor. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy. This is volitionally accept the presentation of truth at gate 4. Buy from me gold. That's the word of God. Refined by fire. That's the process of revelation and inspiration. In order that you may become rich. That you may become rich, note. This is high inventory of ideas in the stream of consciousness. You grow in grace. And you become rich. The gold of the word of God in your soul makes you rich spiritually, and the rewards on that go way beyond anything you've presently got at Laodicea. So that you may clothe yourselves. Now we're getting around to developing the internal integrity to develop the external uniform of honor. So that you may clothe yourselves, put on Christ, acquire the thinking of the Shekinah glory. This would be an opposition, by the way, that this would be white linen, as opposed to the black sheepskins that they develop in Hierapolis and in Laodicea. And the shame of your disgraceful nakedness, a soul with no integrity, may not be revealed at the evaluation tribunal of Christ. Now that's brings us down to the next major word we want to look at, which is collyrium. Oh. Collyrium, a Phrygian powder used to treat eye problems at the med center. Now, I went to a physician's desk reference for this under the entry of collyrium, and here's the description. I actually had a formula for that on here somewhere, but that's screwed up. So, you know, I have the desire to bring a hatchet in here. And when this happens, just bust this thing to smithereens. I may get my overhead projector back one of these days. Description. A natural borate solution containing boric acids and sodium borate as buffers plus water. Now, I had on the board here, I went on the internet and went to people that make these eye drops for when your eyes burn on you. And I was curious to see if we still use these types of chemicals in making eye drops. And I was able to download the ingredients of one of these. They claim to be the top seller, by the way. And these things I've just mentioned, borate, boric acids, sodium borate, and water, are among the ingredients you have in your natural eye drops that you might put in your eye on a cake. Now, the indications of this for flushing or irrigating the eye to remove loose foreign material, air pollutants, and chlorinated water. Now, when tetrahydrozoline is added, the indications are for the relief of redness of the eye due to minor irritations, temporary relief of burning and irritation due to dryness of the eye, and discomfort due to minor irritations of the eye or exposure to wind and sun. Now, people in the first century go to Laodicea, and they had a concoction similar to this. And they had an ophthalmology center, which you could go see the eye doctor. And this was done by a paste, by the way. They would make these ingredients into a paste, and they would put the paste over your eyes. Now, I honestly don't know how that would work, because you just don't cram paste in a person's eye, I wouldn't think. I need to talk to an eye doctor about that. You think, well, they're going to close their eyes when you come at them with the paste. But apparently, however they got the paste around or in the eye, it worked for them to such a degree that was a big business in Laodicea. So this is a booming metropolis. Now, do you remember there are crossroads, north, south, east, west crossroads, do the crossing at Laodicea. So it is a commercial highway going in all four directions. So there's also big business involving that. So these people are getting rich off of the economy in Laodicea because of the lay of the land. It's fairly mountainous there. And these valleys provide the areas of where highways can intervene and intersect. So these people are rolling in the dough, but believers yet lukewarm. So these people have gotten, let's say, high on the economic ladder. Now, the collyrium manufactured and sold in Laodicea can only flush the natural eye of impurities and thus restore sensual vision. These people, as we've noted, are rich. If they need collyrium, they go and buy it at the Ophthalmological Institute at the Med Center. But Christ says that they're spiritually blind. And they need to put a spiritual collyrium on the eyes of their soul so they can identify the lie and reject it. And that's what they're not doing. Now, they are showing up at church. Now, I should have brought, well, it wouldn't have mattered. But I do have a visual that I've shown you in the past on the five areas of positive and negative volition for a believer. And it has to do with, you're a believer, fine. Do you want to pursue truth? And if you reject that, then you're not going to even come into a local church. And if you do come into the church, then you've got to decide whether you're going to accept what is taught. You can say, no, I don't believe that, don't care for it, it's boring, and that'll be the end of that. But then if you believe it, then it's in your soul as the truth. Then there's an application concept. Are you going to apply it to your daily lives? And you say, well, I think that's nice to know. It's good to be informed on these things, but that's not the way I make my decisions. So that's negative volition at application. So you have a series of negative volitions that can occur before you get down to learning, retaining, and applying. And that process has to go to completion before the Lord's going to get around to saying that you're hot. Otherwise, you're lukewarm or cold as an unbeliever. Now, Christ says that they're spiritually blind. Now, collyrium flushes foreign materials and pollutants from the eye and then soothes the resultant redness and irritation. Spiritually, collyrium refers to knowledge of doctrine, which isolates rhetorical veils and flushes their pollutants from the soul. There are so many rhetorical veils today. You are going to be confused, misled. You're going to be introduced to concepts and ideas that are right out of the heart of hell if you cannot evaluate and discern what is being communicated and what is not being communicated. So much of what is wrong today is based on what is not communicated. And your wisdom from Bible doctrine will introduce you to what is the hidden agenda behind what is said today and the policies that are developed in order to promote that hidden agenda. Only through doctrine can you do that. And we've taught that a lot here at Grace Doctrine Church. Now, the coin of the spiritual realm is not Rome's gold denarius, but rather Bible doctrine. That is what gives you an inventory to see things from a biblical worldview. It is the paradigm shift away from that over to a progressive worldview that causes us today to have so much confusion in this client nation, and it is leading us to disaster. Now, purchasing doctrine is accomplished not by investing in the financial market, but by executing positive volition so that it is communicated by the Holy Spirit. You have to have the supernatural teacher. Those people that come into a church because they're saved and they figure that's the thing to do come in here with the baggage they possessed at the moment of their salvation. They've made no spiritual progress other than being saved. Their inventory of ideas is empty. All they think is what the world has taught them. So they come in the door and they hear the Bible taught and that's not of interest to them and they reject that. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can change this. And to do that, they have to be positive. So when a new believer comes into a church, they have to have the desire and the interest in learning what the Bible has to say. And if that is true, the Holy Spirit will begin to teach them and their spiritual growth will commence. When that occurs over a period of time, then they build an inventory of ideas. But doing that, as we find out from the Laodiceans quite possibly, even after you've built the inventory, the question arises when you get into the fray of the angelic conflict, do you have the inner integrity, loyalty to doctrine under pressure, the inner integrity to make application of what you've learned? And if you can't do that, then the Lord is eventually going to get nauseated with you. Having consistently bought the gold of absolute truth, the believer becomes spiritually rich. Now, they are monetarily rich, but not spiritually. Whereas his body may be adorned with the glossy black wool creations of the Laodicean couturiers and tailors, his soul is clothed in white linen, uniform of honor. And that is the first stage in the whole process of becoming a winner, because with the uniform of honor, you're going to have escrow blessings in time. They confuse the prosperity of Laodicea, quite possibly, with spiritual rewards. That is a big mistake for believers to make. The rewards that come to an individual vary. What is right for one person is not for another, and only God can manage that. So for an area like Laodicea and its environs to be blessed by its geographical location and the minerals and the water that are underneath does not indicate that they're all in spiritual maturity. If they've made that mistake, they've made a gross mistake. It is the geography that Jesus Christ created. Bored as you may have been Sunday, I made my point. Jesus Christ created everything that we have. All of that math that I ignored, I am grateful for that. For that math not only put this thing in operation, it is holding it together. I cannot wait until Sunday, so we work our way down to that last word in verse 17 of Colossians 1, where he holds everything together. And when I get there, I'm going to use words like quantum mechanics and relativity and calculus and other things I know nothing about. But I did the research. I put it in my notes, and I told you, and all of these brains around here, and there are a lot of them, and they don't mind coming up and talking to me. All these brains came up to me, and they were giddy. Not bored, giddy. So, you can be bored if you want to. The whole issue here to give illustrations like that is to build a case for the Word of God being the absolute truth, which is where we are. Have you forgotten we're in John 8 about what is truth? You will know the truth and the truth will make you free. It is truth that you need. And the truth is this, that Jesus Christ created all of this. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He's the one we worship. Feel much better now. This uniform of honor indicates a person has bought into the program, he's had the interest necessary to make the advance, and he is ready to become a good soldier for Christ. And therefore, he will be rewarded with rewards that are particular to him. No collective reward. Now, I've told you how things work with regard to a client nation. There's a great deal of blessing by association. And wherever you have a bunch of believers, a goodly number, God only knows the necessary number, but a goodly number of believers who are moving forward and are developing that uniform of honor, and many have actually moved into spiritual maturity, the grace pipeline is going to start blessing those people exceedingly abundantly beyond all they could ever ask or think, and they would be blessed in ways that are beneficial to them personally. But overall, that means that if they're going to receive these blessings down the pipeline, the blessings have to be made available. And they're made available to all, and that's blessing by association, it's historical impact. Now, without that inventory of ideas residing in the souls of X number of people that are required for client nation to enjoy prosperity, when that begins to deviate and when it begins to go away, then the pipeline is only giving base, stay-alive logistics, which is a warning. You'd better get your ship afloat because I am about to get sick on my stomach. And I'm thinking the Lord is getting just a tad nauseated with this country. When you make that advance, it prevents you from showing up at the evaluation tribunal of Christ with a naked soul and entering the millennium with a naked resurrection body. Once a person makes a recovery from reversionism, spiritual growth soothes the eyes of the soul, much like collyrium does the eyes of the body. Previously led astray by rhetorical veils communicated by the faculty of the Cosmic Academy, the believer can now see through the deception, flush the lie, and get the stream of consciousness revamped. Flush the lie. Give it the colonic. He begins to discern historical trends. I'm hoping that that's what you guys can do. I mean, I don't think we have 17 here tonight, but let's be evangelistic and say we've got 17. When you go out and you move into the community tomorrow, you're going to run into these challenges. And what you will have are attacks by the Cosmic Academy. Can you discern that? Can you read the historical trends that are evident today? Look, here's the situation. We are at a case to where if you know history, if you know what people have tried in the past and when those ideas have come to fruition, the results are horrible. There are only a few ways that you can actually run a country. A lot of people have tried to do different things, but they always come down to four or five different ways to run a country. There's tyranny, there's democracy, there's a republic, there is a monarchy, there is an oligarchy, that kind of thing. None of them work except for the republic idea. And within that context, it requires free enterprise, it requires freedom of religion, and freedom of speech. You cannot communicate ideas. If you can't do that freely, then information cannot pass freely from one person to another. Freedom of religion is important, but it is freedom of religion that is going to be a problem in this country. Because there are... Look, the Constitution has nothing to say about separation of church and state. Has nothing to say about that. It has been imputed by emanations from penumbras, which is means I want it to be there, so I'm going to say, like Hugo Black, I'm going to draw this out of thin air and say it's there. And I'll do it in fancy language like emanations from the penumbras of the Constitution. Do you know what that means? Of course you don't. He didn't know what it meant. He's from Alabama. I won't get into that. But Hugo Black is evil. And the Lord's spoken to him about that. Let's assume he's a believer. You always hope for the best. But the Lord has spoken to him about this. And when all of this comes down to the point to where it's not going to work, it is because the people have bought the lie and they have put it into place, and then hell breaks loose. And that's what we're doing. It's what we're doing as a nation. It's what we're doing as individuals in this country. Individuals are so removed from reality in this country. They make consistent series of bad decisions that limit future options. And when the options are limited, they want somebody to take the problems away. And the problems were created by them, manufactured by them, executed by them, lived by them. They've got the problem. They caused the problem. They don't want to live the problem. That's us as a nation today. And so they want somebody from the outside to come in and fix it. And guess who's all ready and willing to do that? The government. Well, let's recover. Previously led astray by rhetorical veils, communicated by the faculty of the Cosmic Academy, the believer can now see through the deception and flush the lie from his stream of consciousness. He begins to discern historical trends because the eye salve of truth has opened his eyes to the lies of the Cosmic Academy. They see the light. For the collyrium of the ancient world to be effective, it had to be rubbed into the eyes. That had to be a horrible experience. Open your eyes. We're going to rub this goo in there. You got to think, you know, I'm okay with this. I think I'll just let the sting be there a while longer. But apparently people came from miles around to have this done to them. The recovering reversionist must use his own volition to rub the collyrium of truth into his soul through consistent intake of doctrine. That's the collyrium of truth. You rub that into the eyes of the soul. And the rubbing process has to do with repetition. You can rub something, it's a back and forth thing. It's a repetition. All of this is brought out by the concept of a collyrium being truth, consistent intake of doctrine. You have an aorist active infinity with the verb increno, to rub in. Rubbing a salve on the skin or in the eye is a repetitive action. Coming to Bible class and listening to things taught more than once is a repetitive action. So the solution is placed on the affected area and is massaged into the tissue by back and forth movement while applying pressure. The solution is not rubbed in, so to speak, on the first cycle or two. The procedure must be repeated until it is absorbed by the body, or in this case, the eye. Likewise with Bible doctrine. It must be rubbed in too. Reversion recovery is not accomplished by 1 or 2 hours of a Bible class. Doctrine must be absorbed by repeated review and trial under pressure to go out into the arena and make application and see it work. And when you see doctrine work, you realize that God had a good idea. It might not have made sense to me at the time, but I sucked it up and decided to apply it. To me, it wasn't the best idea, but I tried it, and it worked. So I may try it again. It's like an experiment. If you're not willing to make the experiment, you don't see what the solution is. So if you go out there with cosmic thought, old wheel tracks, I'm going to do it the way I've always done it, and it doesn't work, it never dissuades us from trying it again, which is the definition of insanity, I've heard. I just keep doing the same thing over and over and expect a different result. Therefore, I'm a nutball. I'll try something new. I'll try the Word of God. I will apply a biblical principle to this circumstance and see what happens. And the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it will work. It may not work instantly like you want it to, but the ground's been laid for success. Have to keep rubbing. So Bible doctrine must be rubbed in. Reversion recovery is not accomplished by 1 or 2 hours in a Bible class. Doctrine must be absorbed and repeated by review and then trial under pressure. Once it is rubbed into the soul, then its healing properties are available for utilization by the Holy Spirit. That means you have to be clear on rebound and attentive to His leadership. Carillium, rubbed into the eyes of the soul, results in doctrinal orientation to reality. And getting to that level is extremely important. Doctrinal orientation to reality. And when your mindset is progressivism and collectivism, you make decisions based on that and you don't even realize it. Look, you're so bombarded today by the progressive concept of collectivism that you are involved without thinking in that type of modus operandi. Everything is individualism. The individual is responsible. The individual is the one who cares for himself the most. Let the individual learn how to make good decisions for himself. And do not teach collectivism. Only when individuals can stand on their own 2 feet by making good decisions from a position of strength can the collective benefit. You can't have a collective and half expecting somebody else to do the thinking for them. And that somebody else is somebody else that don't know what you need to do. And so it's a collective idea on the other side for the solution. Let's all do this for that group of people, which a collective application is not pertinent. It's an individual application. Why is a person in the circumstance they are in? Decisions brought them there. Decisions are going to have to get them out. And outside intervention with some kind of collective idea is only going to resolve the issue for the moment. It will not have a long-haul solution because it is decision-making that causes all of this. Well, from all of this, therefore, comes the development of problem-solving devices and the ability to make good decisions under pressure. Doctrinal collirium makes it possible for the recovering reversionist to regain his spiritual insight where previously he was blind. Matthew 6:22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, curriculum from the Cosmic Academy. The person in the Cosmic Academy thinks he's taken in the light. They bought the lie, so the lie is truth for them. Therefore, the question, what is truth? Well, truth is what I believe is true. Wrong. It's what the Word of God identifies as truth. And you have to find the source for that. And to be in the Cosmic Academy and assume the lie is truth is going to lead you down a dark place. How great is that darkness is how verse 23 concludes. A soul darkness is replaced by light when doctrine is rubbed in by means of the grace apparatus for perception. Operation Z takes the darkness and replaces it with the light. And the heart or stream of consciousness is referred to by this plural noun, ophthalmos. Ophthalmos means eyes. And the result of doing so is stated next in the purpose clause introduced by the conjunction hina, in order that you may. Blepo is the word, in order that you may see. Blepo is a progressive present. It refers to an action and a state of persistence. Therefore, present linear action. This is a continuing status of being able to see clearly. Continuing action of being able to see clearly. So what is it referencing here? Consistency in the intake of truth. Being alert to repetition. Every time you hear something repeated from a doctrinal area, you will pick up something you missed the time before. I don't know how people do this. This has got to be maddening. But people write me emails and say that they've listened to some Bible class I've done 3 or 4 times. But they say they get something new every time through. I remember doing that with the colonel. Get something new every time through. What does that mean? It means you're building an inventory along the way on that first trip through. You're building an inventory that wasn't there, a base from which you can build other information second time through. Then the third, then the fourth, and I guess at some point you've got to be fed up with it. But that's the idea. Active voice, the action of rubbing doctrine into the heart, results in the eyes, eyes of the soul being enabled to consistently discern the historical trends of the day. Now then, historical trends quite often are evaluated as having to do with a government or some group of people and that kind of thing. The historical trends relate to individuals because it is individual worldviews that results in the paradigm shift away from traditional worldview to the progressive worldview. And as that paradigm shift advances, it affects each individual. You are influenced by the current zeitgeist. People without the ability to discern will turn on the television, they'll read a book, a newspaper, listen to the radio, go to a movie, discuss things with old friends. Everybody's piping out the same yarn. And it gets to the point to where you hear it so much you accept it as true. It's a communist tactic. Tell the lie long enough and everybody will believe it. And so that is the practice of the day. And I'm not saying that people know they're telling lies. They've just been propagandized. So they repeat what they think is truth when really it's the lie. And you have to have discernment to see this. And you are going to be entangled in a thought process that will take you down like the Jews of the first generation, like the Jews of the last generation, and like the people of Laodicea. You've got to get to the point to where you can evaluate the issues of the day that confront you from a biblical worldview and have the courage to say, I'm not going there. And to think through what you're doing. Don't make decisions on a daily basis. Make decisions that you think are okay without giving it a doctrinal analysis. Otherwise, you're going to be making decisions that have come into your conscious mind from the Cosmic Academy without even thinking through it. Potential is, the subjunctive is potential. There is the element of contingency. One must rub consistently in order for the soul's vision to function clearly on a day-by-day-by-day basis. Repetition. Therefore, the translation of the purpose clause should read, in order that you may keep on seeing. So we have verse 18 again. I counsel you to buy, volitionally accept the presentation of truth. Buy for me gold, word of God, refined by fire. That's the process of revelation and inspiration. In order that you may become rich, that is a high inventory of ideas in your stream of consciousness. So that you may clothe yourselves as putting on Christ. And when you put on Christ, you're wearing the thinking of the Shekinah glory. And the shame of your disgraceful nakedness, a soul with no integrity, may not be revealed at the tribunal of Christ. And eye salve, collyrium, to rub in your eyes, that's spiritual growth, in order that you may keep on seeing historical trends. Verse 19, those whom I love, all believers, I reprimand, that's warning discipline, and I punish, intensive discipline. Therefore, be zealous, respond positively to the discipline, and rebound, confession alone to God alone. Now let's go to the next verse. The next verse is often incorrectly applied as a salvation passage. It is not. This entire context is directed toward believers in the church of Laodicea. And they are believers. We've established that, but they're lukewarm. So if you're lukewarm, then God's got a plan for you. The problem being addressed concerns those members who have become negative and therefore entered into reversionism. Verse 20, therefore, deals with the Lord's gracious efforts to extract a confession from the reversionist so that he can return to the plan of God and hopefully qualify for escrow blessings in eternity. Therefore, the seventh Nike Award is the subject of verse 21, as imputed and is imputed to those who overcome. Now, Revelation 3:20 is what comes next. Here's how it reads. This is where we'll start tomorrow night if I'm able to survive this. I was doing fine until I got here. I think it's Gary coughing. Gary's causing all of this. Revelation 3:20. Now, hear this. I stand at the door. This is red ink. This is availability of instant reversion recovery through rebound. I stand at the door and I keep on knocking. Divine discipline in three categories. If anyone, a cosmic believer, hears my voice, rebound motivation, and opens the door, rebound recovery, I will enter face to face with him, restoration to fellowship inside the divine dynasphere, and I will dine with him. The soul will feed on the teaching of the word, and he with me. The spirit-filled believer metabolizes the doctrine in his stream of consciousness and thus begins taking on the thinking of the Shekinah glory. Now that's verse 20, and we have some things to say about that. We'll move into verse 21 where the Nike is located and then proceed in our study with several other points that need to be made. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for this opportunity to study your word this evening. It is our prayer that you would sanctify what we've studied, that it might contribute to our spiritual growth, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.